From the Public Affairs Staff of the Columbus Dispatch, this is Buckeye Forum.
Happy New Year and welcome to 2019 and the first Buckeye Forum podcast of the new year. How you doing, everybody? It's Daryl Rowland. I'm the public affairs editor here at the Dispatch. Got Jim Siegel covers the legislature for us. And we're just going to break down what in the world is going on in the Ohio State House these days. New year, new set of legislators, or at least old legislators in new spots, and a new speaker. We have some intrigue on day one of the legislative session. So, Jim, let us know about it.
Well, opening day is usually pretty boring from a news standpoint, to be honest. Usually the leadership positions have all been decided behind closed doors ahead of time, and the votes are just pretty perfunctory, and they just come out and they vote as you expect, and then the leader gets up and talks about, you know, wanting to do great things and be bipartisan, and then they move on. But that certainly was not the case this year in the Ohio House, which has been a big giant mess of a leadership fight for several months now, and it came to a head this week when Speaker Ryan Smith went up head-to-head against Representative Larry Householder, who was a former House Speaker. He served from 2001 to 2004. Now, of course, he was then term-limited, but then he has returned a few years ago. Actually, he returned 2 years ago. And he made no bones about it. He returned with the intent of becoming Speaker again, and it took him only one term to do that. He's got a lot of people who really like him. He's got a lot of people who really hate him, but pretty much everyone agrees that he is a master politician. He's about a 6'5" country boy who he pours on that charm and has this booming voice and kind of towers over everyone in the room most of the time. And he has this way of making connections, and it turned out it was enough to get him the speakership again. But it wasn't easy. He only won 52-46 over who was then at the time Speaker Ryan Smith. I guess it's hard to say, although, you know, I guess even at that moment he may not have been Speaker technically. He had to, you know, once you start swearing in the new members, I guess you're no longer Speaker of that General Assembly. But this has been an ongoing leadership fight between the two of them for months and months. And it divided the Republicans. It divided the Democrats. At the end of the day, not only did we have a very unusually contentious speaker fight, but it actually required the Democrats for the first time, I think, in anyone's memory, to actually step in and basically play a kingmaker. It was up to the minority Democrats to decide which of the two speaker candidates, which of the two Republicans they were going to support. And in the end of the day, 26 of the 38 House Democrats supported Larry Householder, and that is what put him over. He got 26 votes from Democrats. He got 26 votes from Republicans. Ryan Smith got 34 Republican votes. He actually got more votes in his own caucus, but he only can get 12 votes from the Democrats. And then at the end of the day, it's the entire chamber that matters. And so Larry Householder has returned to the speaker's post.
Again, some basics, Jim. 50 votes to win, right?
50 votes to win. There were only 98 votes because there is one vacant seat, but you still needed 50 because of the way the math works out.
A majority. And as some of our listeners may recall, we took a lot more than one ballot when Ryan Smith first became Speaker last year.
It did. It took actually 11 votes back in June when Ryan Smith was first elected Speaker. Back in June, the big difference is that House Minority Leader Fred Strayhorn, a Democrat from Dayton, also ran for the speaker spot, and most of the Democrats supported him. By doing that, it divided up the votes basically three or four different ways because the Republicans. Now, Householder didn't put his name in personally in June, but he did have basically proxy candidates running on his behalf. And at the end of the day, Ryan Smith ended up with about 44 votes. Which was not a majority, but on the 11th vote, you only need a plurality, and
that's under House rules.
Under House rules, yes.
All right, and there was some thought that would happen, perhaps again this time.
Yeah, definitely. That was actually up until about a week before the vote. That was the expectation: is that that we may be sitting around for another 11 round mess of votes. But it turned. But then the House Democrats met privately. A couple days before opening day, and it turned out that Fred Strayhorn this time around had very few votes. I think he only had 8 votes in caucus for him. And most of his caucus clearly wanted to vote for Householder.
And backing up even before that, there was some effort, was there not, by
by Representative Householder to woo the Democrats.
Oh, sure. I mean, you just don't get the Democrats to line up behind a Republican for Speaker without doing some work. And
well, how does he do? I mean, this is the most fascinating part of this whole. How do you get the strong majority of the Democratic caucus to back what many would say was a strong-armed Republican leader?
Well, a couple things. One, he got some major labor unions behind him. Householder collected hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, well over $1 million in campaign contributions from some of Ohio's big labor unions. And basically those labor unions, which are also, you know, close to a number of Democrats, basically called all the Democrats. There were three of them, three unions, and called all the Democrats and basically said, we want you to support Larry Householder.
Why?
And that had a sway. Well, they've pretty much been given a guarantee by Householder that there will not be anti-union bills brought up
this
session, such as right to work, which you know, for private unions, the issue of which is of course about paying a fair share fee if you're not in the union. About prevailing wage, bills to get rid of prevailing wage, bills to do away with project labor agreements, bills to do away with the union checkoff issue. And so there are definitely some things that, the unions are always concerned in Ohio that the Republican-controlled government is going to step up and try to do a Senate Bill 5 type move again. And I doubt they would do it like that again. I think they've learned their lesson that was a complete failure. But maybe pick at the union issues one at a time. And so there's always this concern that they're going to do that. And so I think they got some assurances from Householder that he's with them and he's not going to do that. Now, it's interesting because I'm not even sure the legislature would even have 50 votes in the House. I'm not sure the House even has 50 votes to pass any of those bills anyway.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, because these bills spring up every session, it seems like, and they don't get that far. Is there a difference in the dynamic that you have Mike DeWine is coming in as governor, and he's certainly right to work is not the top of his priority list. He perhaps his views is more friendly toward it. I mean, is that going on?
I don't know. Again, I think they're just worried. Like, I think things like what happened up in Michigan scare them, where the governor there, it wasn't an issue for him until all of a sudden it was. Then all of a sudden it was like, oh yeah, I'll sign that. And they worry they're just going to get blindsided all of a sudden by these, you know, some of these bills. And I don't know how likely that is. I would be, to be honest, I haven't heard Mike DeWine say anything that would lead me to believe that he wants to see any kind of anti-union bill passed right now. And frankly, I would think he would have learned some lessons from Governor Kasich back when he, you know, came charging into office and immediately took this issue on and then got his hat handed to him on it. I just don't see why he would want to antagonize and develop a labor fight right out of the, you know, anytime soon out of the gate, considering that, look, Ohio unemployment is at one of its lowest points it's been in decades. I mean, generally, you know, the economy is doing pretty well, and I just don't see why he would want to ruffle feathers unnecessarily. So Householder had union backing that helped, and frankly, you know, Householder just worked the members. I mean, this is what he's really good at. He'll call you on the phone, he'll come up to you, slap you on the back, say how you doing, he'll talk to you, he'll make you feel like, you know, that he's really listening. And I say feel like, I mean, is he really listening? I mean, I can, you know, only Larry Householder can tell you that.
Sure.
But he makes you feel that way. He makes you feel like you're you know, that he wants to be a partner with you in some respects, you know, that you might not always agree with each other, but he's there, you know, but he doesn't want to just, ignore you. And so, you know, a lot of these Democrats were really happy about that. And then, you know, they felt like Householder worked harder to try to get their vote. Mm-hmm. They just felt like Smith and his team did not work as hard. And then finally, you know, Smith being Speaker last session, which meant Smith was Speaker through the lame duck session, and there were some things that didn't the Democrats really didn't like that went on. They felt like Smith was passing some really, or having the House vote on some really controversial conservative bills, the heartbeat bill, that anti-abortion heartbeat bill, Stand Your Ground, the gun bill, Pastor Protection Act. So things like this were passing over strong objections from Democrats, and they just, and then at one point the Speaker, Speaker Smith, got into a dust up on the House floor with Representative Stephanie House from Cleveland. Representative House is also the president of the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus. And that left a sour taste in some folks' mouths because they just felt like he was being a bit unreasonable and jumping on her as she was trying to make a valid point about the racial diversity of the districts among those who are supporting this the Stand Your Ground gun bill versus those who are opposing. And so you kind of mix all this together, and eventually, you know, more than two-thirds of that Democratic caucus in the end decided, you know, if we're going to get, you know, there don't seem to be a whole lot of differences on a lot of what Smith and Householder believe in. But if he's going to listen to us and maybe give us a few things we want, you know, like a professional HR department in the House, they got that. They're going to get some chairmanships on some subcommittees to look at some bigger issues, some co-chairmanships, I should say, on some subcommittees. They're going to get, a little bit of relief on some House rules that sometimes are used to keep the boot on the necks of the minority party at times. I think they're going to get some relief there, but they're not getting a lot, but they're getting some things, and it'll be fascinating to see how they govern going forward. I mean, there's never been a case where, I mean, it's one thing for a speaker to have, you know, 5-10 members of his caucus who didn't vote for him, and you can marginalize those folks. You can, you know, you can stick them in the, you know, more undesirable committees. You can, you know, make them really work hard for their bills and all that. You can do that. You can't marginalize 34 members of your caucus. That just isn't going to happen. I mean, particularly the fact that of the 24 that voted for Householder, I believe 12 are freshmen. And I'm not even counting those who are, that doesn't even count the folks who have been in the legislature before and are just coming to the House again. Those are just flat out brand new to the, to the legislature. So, you know, these are not folks who are coming in ready to run committees and ready to be in leadership. They need to learn, you know, where the bathrooms are first. And so, you know, he's really only has, you know, himself and about 12 other members who he can really lean on maybe for leadership and committee chairs. So some of these folks who voted for Ryan Smith, I mean, like I said, he's going to have to work with them. The question is, how is that going to go? And
I was going to say, how does this work? I mean, it's, you've got such only a relative handful, so presumably the leadership will go to Householder people. What key committees? Would it go like a finance committee? Would that definitely go to a Householder loyalist? How do you see the pie being divided?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a couple key committees. As you mentioned, the finance committee, which deals with budgeting, that'll definitely be a Householder person. We'll definitely run that. I would be shocked if Householder people didn't also run the Ways and Means Committee, which does taxes, probably the Education Committee, which obviously does, you know, which is an obvious one, and maybe one or two others, depending on what Heath believes are the priorities of issues at the, you know, for next year. But like I said, it'll just be it'll be interesting because look, the Smith people, there are definitely people backing Smith and Smith included. They are really not happy with the way this all went down. This was not just let's go try to convince people and let the best man win. There was belief that there was dirty tricks being played, that Householder and his team were trying to roll marbles under Smith's feet as he was trying to govern last session. And so there could be some lingering issues from that. And again, when you've got 34 members, who can vote for other, you know, against your bills, they can, or vote for amendments you don't want to see, or, you know. And it's going to be weird, too, because Householder has kind of formed this coalition between the Democrats, including many of the most liberal Democrats, and the folks who are supporting him in the Republican caucus. They're the most mostly the most conservative of the Republicans. So at the end of the day, it's not like there is very little that the Householder supporters on the Republican side will see eye to eye with the Householder supporters on the Democratic side. This isn't like Texas where they come together and you get the moderate Republicans and the moderate Democrats. I mean, let's face it, a Democrat in Texas is not the same as generally as a Democrat in Ohio. They tend to be much more conservative. So, I mean, in there it seems like you can kind of work out a bipartisan agreement. Here, it would just seem on the surface it'll be much tougher, but look, if anyone can put this group, all these folks together and make the trains run and make it all go, it's probably Larry Householder, just because, like I said, he can do some amazing things with politics and personal relationships. And then at the end of the day, sometimes you're just left going, wow, he he made it happen.
He really did.
You know, as long as he can stay out of trouble. I mean, which he didn't do all the time.
Let's talk about that. We've seen this movie before. First of all, the last time he became speaker, he wasn't the anointed candidate, and yeah, it didn't necessarily end well. So remind us of those early 2000s. What was it like in the Ohio House?
Well, he was, you know, you're right. He wasn't supposed to be the speaker the last time, at least not initially. It was actually Joanne Davidson, I think, had kind of selected, I remember right, it was going to be Bill Harris was going to be the speaker. And then Householder worked again, really worked hard to gain support, and ended up, well, okay, we'll do a power-sharing thing. We, you know, I'll be speaker 1 year, and then you'll be speaker the next year, and then Harris would be leaving the chamber. Well, you know, that lasted a couple weeks, and then all of a sudden Householder just basically announced, look, I have the votes. I'm going to be speaker for both years, you know, and that's just the way it's going to be. And so it was. I mean, he, you know, Bill Harris was quickly appointed to the Senate with a vacancy that was suddenly created they created a spot in the administration for a senator over there and created a seat for him to move over, and Larry Householder moved in. Beginning of 2000 probably wasn't the way folks saw it happening, but again, he outworked everybody and made relationships, and that's kind of the same way he did it this time. Now, he did get in some trouble. FBI was looking into some of his activities. There were allegations of kickbacks regarding contracts with vendors and the caucus and the House campaign committee. There was complaints about strong arm tactics regarding campaign fundraising and bills, you know, the link between fundraising and the ability to pass bills, and so now Householder was never charged. At the end of the day, they did not nothing criminally stuck to him, but there was definitely a lot of smoke rising, and he left kind of under a cloud of these ethics issues. He says he's a different person now. He says he's, you know, 18 years later, he's, you know, he says he's more patient, and we'll see. Maybe he will be a little bit different kind of leader. But I do know that, like I said, he had a lot of really strong loyalists at the time, but he also had some folks in his caucus who just could not stand him and really couldn't stand the people he had hired as his top his chief of staff and his top fundraiser, who were just, you know, would just berate them and bother them all the time about, did you raise money from this group? Did you raise money from that group? And we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, he has the ability to be both very kind, friendly, but he can also be ruthless.
Which Larry Householder it is, or if it's a blend or whatever.
Yeah, it'll probably be a blend. But it, again, as I was explaining, though, this whole dynamic with his caucus and the Democratic caucus will just be fascinating. And I think there's got to be somebody out there betting an over-under on what date Democrats are asked, do you regret voting for Larry Householder? And I'm not saying that because, you know, he's going to turn on them in some dramatic way, but I mean, it's almost guaranteed that at some point the Republicans are going to do something that a lot of the Democrats are not going to like, and they're going to start wondering, should we have done this or not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just inevitable because of the way the politics work.
All right. Well, folks have listened this far. Let's give them a little bit of meat on the bones here. With these new legislative sessions beginning, new leadership in the House, same old in the Senate. As I recall, every vote was unanimous for the leaders. Larry Alboff will continue there. What are we going to see in terms of priority legislation, or what types of things? I know they haven't officially released anything, but what are you hearing?
Well, not surprisingly, we haven't heard much yet from the House, and you know, as Larry Householder has been, you know, at the time we're recording this, has been speaker for about 48 hours, so it's not as if they've got a big list yet. They're still just trying to get the staff and everything filled. But one thing he did talk about was wanting to address school funding. That was a big issue for Larry Householder when he was here the last time and was speaker. Really, at one point, came up with a dramatic agreement that he reached with Bill Phyllis, who was the head of the coalition of schools that was suing the state at the time over school funding, and kind of they just kind of met and said, we're gonna work out a deal to end this lawsuit and make school funding constitutional. And
Bill Phyllis said yes,
and he
for
said
the first
yes.
time,
right,
and only time to date.
Right, absolutely. It was a dramatic thing. The problem, of course, for Householder was that it you know, the price tag on it was I think it was up to $2 or $3 billion of more money that was needed in order to do what they were talking about. And Senate President at the time, Dick Finan, Governor Bob Taft, they wanted nothing to do with that. And literally the whole plan lasted about a week before it was.
It involved gambling expansion at the time.
It did. It involved gambling expansion, which at the time was much more controversial. Yes. and less supported than it is now. And so, yeah, but school funding is definitely a passion of his. He represents rural Ohio, so he understands the issues that are facing rural schools, which
Perry County, as a matter of fact,
Perry County,
the home of the original school funding laws.
Absolutely, absolutely. So he wants to dive into that, and he's already got some members who have been working on it for months, and we'll see what comes of all that. Over in the Senate, Larry Obhoff has a few more ideas since he's obviously coming into his second term as president. He would like to see a bill passed about regarding regulatory reform. They tried some things last year, and they're going to probably bring those back. Where, you know, it's basically an issue of, you know, you pass a regulation, then you have to, you know, take a few more off the books. He just wants fewer regulations. There's not a lot of specificity with exactly what they want to get rid of, but I think he thinks there's too much regulation. Look for some legislation dealing with Lake Erie. That's an ongoing problem with the algae blooms and other things. I think Asian carp is back as a problem there too.
Let me just stop you there. On Lake Erie, the controversy, and I know Governor Taft, you mentioned Governor Taft. Governor Kasich, on his way out of office, expressed frustration that he couldn't get some things done in terms of agricultural runoff regulations and things of that nature. I mean, it's, is the Senate president going to be able to tackle it?
I don't know, because I don't know how far they're willing to go. I mean, and that was Kasich's frustration, is that once, you know, they've taken some steps. The problem is that things you have to do now, I mean, now we're getting into actual things that are harder, things that are actually make farmers make real significant changes to the way that they fertilize their fields and the way that they control the runoff of manure. And that is, of course, much more controversial and much harder to pass, because you do have a number of Republicans who are very sympathetic to the ears of the farmers and what their concerns are, and so I don't know how far they're willing to go. You'll probably see some more human trafficking issues brought up. Sentencing reform will be a big one. That'll be interesting, coming off of last year's ballot issue, to try to basically eliminate penalties for low-level drug offenses, and so that's going to be dealt with for drug offenses in some way. I don't think it won't be done the way issue one wanted it last year, but it'll be tackled in some way. Look for sports betting to come up as an issue. This is been legalized across the country. The question is, what is Ohio going to do about it? Mostly is, what is Ohio going to tax? How is Ohio going to tax it in some way, and where is that money going to go? Look for.
And again, this is after the U.S. Supreme Court decision last year that legalized it.
Right. So we're look for energy issues in the House. Larry Householder, one of his biggest, he comes from the energy industry, and one of his biggest supporters was First Energy. First Energy is looking for a taxpayer bailout to help them keep open their nuclear power plants and perhaps even keep open their coal fire power plants, all of which are not as efficient as the current gas natural gas plants that are running in a number of places. So First Energy is looking for help. Look for that issue to be dealt with, along with standards for renewable energy and setback restrictions on wind farms and stuff and that nature. There's going to be a lot of energy talk in the House, I would bet.
Okay. And are you talking about more loosening those setbacks to allow for more wind energy facilities?
The state tightened them up pretty hard, those restrictions, a few years ago, and immediately got blowback because it was just going to cut off a lot of any attempts to really create any significant wind energy production. So there's been discussion now for probably a good two years or more to see what they can do to roll those back somewhat. And it's a very controversial issue across the state. You go to some parts of the state, you'll see signs in yards all over the place, no wind farms. So it's a big issue. But I do think they're going to have to address it in some way. And also, don't forget the unemployment compensation fund, guys. That thing has been that can has been kicked down the road for about 50 miles now over the last decade. And so, once again, leaders say, "Well, we're really going to do it this time." And basically, what they need to do is make the fund solvent, so the next time we hit a recession, we're not borrowing $5 billion from the federal government and then having to repay them with interest
from Ohio businesses, as I recall.
Right? Yeah, Ohio businesses end up paying a surcharge to help pay that back. So,
well, and what about our old favorites that we saw at the end of the last session? The version was passed was sort of the watered down stand your ground bill, gun bill, and of course the heartbeat bill that you mentioned.
Well, Larry Householder's Speaker Larry Householder's famous ad during the campaign was him with a gun shooting his television in the middle of a field. So if you don't think Larry Householder is going to be open to passing gun legislation, you haven't been paying attention. So don't be surprised if you start to see some of that. But again, the Democrats who voted for Larry Householder absolutely do not want to see any of that kind of stuff come up. They are sick and tired of gun legislation, and they are going to be very upset if he starts pushing for some of those stand your ground or some other loosening restrictions, such as, you know, making Ohio a no permit state and or things that Mike DeWine would probably sign. But again, it's Larry Householder is going to have to do an interesting dance in his chamber in order to keep everything together. And then the heartbeat bill, he was asked about the heartbeat bill on first day, and not surprisingly, he was not interested in wading into that issue on day one. But again, he is very much pro-life and will, you know, and is, don't be surprised at all if you see that bill come up within the first 6 months. Again, assuming that it doesn't cause some kind of a irreparable rift between his supporters.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you're going to be telling us all about it in the pages of the Dispatch and on dispatch.com. So we look forward to seeing that. And, you know, kind of cool. It's, you know, it's not all cut and dried in state government as sometimes it is. And folks, this is your taxpayers' dollars. This is laws that affect you every day of the week. Important stuff. So thanks for hanging with us this far. Again, it's Jim Siegel with us, our legislative reporter over on the board, Patrick Flaherty. Seldom gets the credit because you never hear from him, but you wouldn't be hearing from us without him. Again, I'm Daryl Rowland for Public Affairs Editor of the Dispatch. Again, thanks for listening and talk to you soon.